You are tuned in to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my good friend Anilia Benz returns to share her perspective on the current energies. In January 2010, she received a request from Source to go public. This began the establishment of a free information source at www.ascension101.com. Thousands have been deeply moved and triggered by the paradigm-shifting first video. Through several meet-and-greets held in California, she has shared her inspiration, vision, and vibration. Since, she has continued to work behind the scenes with lightworkers and public figures to raise the vibration of the planet. This is taking many forms, from newsletters, podcasts, tools, events, and courses. She is presently serving on the Awaken Council, developing the new paradigm in partnership with others. She is presently working on a two-day event in November. So let's welcome Anilia back to the show now. Hi, Anilia. How are you?
Hi, Len. So happy to be here.
Oh, yeah. It's always nice to hear your voice. You always have interesting information to share, and you know, your energy contributes a lot. Let's face it.
Yes, you're a portal opener. That's how I've described you. So let's open this portal, yeah?
All right. Well, you know, I thought tonight, since we haven't really talked too much about the recent shifts in frequency and what's going on on the planet, that you've had some interesting shifts, and you've seen others shifting recently, too. I thought maybe we could talk for a few minutes about your perspective on the shifts, the recent shifts in frequency or energy.
Yeah, and perception as well, I think.
And perception, yes.
Yeah. As you know, as you mentioned in the intro, I'm working with the Awakened Council, which is a group of women collaborating with women to empower, not just women, but everybody who cares to listen. And we did an energy update recently. We put it on YouTube. And on that, it was basically to look at the energies which we interpreted as the end of the light-dark game. Not the end of duality, because duality is I and other, but the actual game of influencing the other through being light or through being dark, trying to overtake or save, depending on what side you identify yourself with, and in overall affecting the other, whether outside, whether in ourselves, on the planet. And basically that game is finishing. If we want it to, with ourselves individually, singularly, choose to, that game is over. Yeah. And it had a huge reaction. People really had a really powerful reaction to it. They didn't know what they were doing or what they were going to do next and all sorts of things like that.
Uh-huh.
What was interesting to me in particular personally was that the majority of people missed one important factor, and it was that when I told the story of it was a seeing where there was a universe made of light and a universe made of darkness, and then this viewpoint created a being of light and dark and sent it to both universes so that they could see each other.
Oh yeah,
to see
right.
What would happen, right?
Yes.
And basically, what was missed? Everybody's talking about the end of the light dark game and what's going to happen next, and how to choose light or how to choose darkness or whatever. What's being missed is the third entity, the one that could see both originally and created that being that was both and sent it to those universes. And that is us. That's humanity. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But That is our higher consciousness. And also the fourth entity, which basically was able to observe without affecting, yeah? Because even that third one affected, yeah? It wanted to have an effect on the others, and by that affected itself, its experience. But there's another viewpoint beyond that, where we are just observing and allowing to happen without being affected or affecting.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. In fact, I had heard about the light and dark beings, that they what happens is they go into a system, and if the system is predominantly light, they shift into the darker aspects of themselves, and if the system is predominantly dark, they're shifting into the light aspect. So there's this balancing act going on, right?
Yeah, never allowing those two universes to be pure. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, because we judge, we judge things. It's in our nature to judge darkness as undesirable and want to save anybody who's in there, make it go away.
Well, yes, and of course, we know that people who start out battling terrible injustices and horrors that are going on by people who are of the dark, and there is a dark side.
Mm-hmm.
The people who start out with good intentions often end up as fanatical and as extreme as the dark side in their desire to eradicate and kill and destroy, and and so you have, for instance, an element of the Christian right that is not about love and forgiveness and non-judgment. It's all about, hating people and killing them. Yeah, get rid of those people over there. Get rid of the gays. Get rid of this. Get rid of that. And so basically the people they're trying to get rid of is everybody but themselves and their own elite group. So it's always, it always boils down to when this battle of light and dark goes on, which is fake, because it's duality. It's based in duality, which is coming to an end. Whenever this happens, invariably, it's a stalemate. It can't go anywhere.
Right.
And then you end up having to completely remove all of it because the game has been so corrupted that it can't be, it's difficult to create a fix that addresses every perspective.
There is no fix.
Right, but there is no fix.
Yeah, the nature of light is to eliminate darkness, yeah? You have a room that's been dark for a million years, you bring in a candle, and it's no longer in darkness. It's impossible for dark to exist where there is light. And for it to exist, it needs to have no light. So it's always trying to eliminate the light, yeah? And it's all vibrational. It's all, and our interpretation of light and dark would be, like I said, that light would be joy, light, love, and darkness would be hate, suffering, and darkness, right?
Yeah, and destruction, and death and destruction. And
well, no, because death and destruction is not necessarily with evil intent.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Some deaths, however...
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them function from there.
right.
From that space. But, when there's an earthquake or there's a volcano blows, there's no evil intent behind it. But there's a lot of death and destruction.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, of course, I hate to throw this out there because... I'm agreeing with you, but I'm also saying that the technology to create tornadoes and earthquakes is being used to destroy
other
cultures. So, it's no longer an earth, a natural divine energy that's all entirely doing it. That there are countries that are, doing little
evil intent.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I think the beauty of this time is that if we hold that space where we are no longer being affected by energies, whether it's light or dark, or trying to affect others with a certain vibration or energy, whether it's light or dark, if we can hold that space of simply being and observing, we are going through something as a human collective. We're going through something that will open a gate for a different type of multidimensional or ultra-dimensional experience that's much broader, much richer than the tiny little game of light-dark.
Oh, yes. It's gotten so, I think, over the thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of years here, that I think even the dark are bored with it, and the light's certainly bored with it. I think everybody's bored with this game because it never goes anywhere. It always ends up in a fight, and then somebody gets a black eye, and the other person walks away, or maybe they both go to jail, or somebody gets killed. And it's like, you know, every permutation of this egotistical battle, you know, of wanting to be right, which, let's face it, wanting to be right is an aspect of a service to self or of ego, that's really what's behind all this, whether it's light or dark, one of the things.
Yeah, when we make ourselves right, we're automatically making others wrong.
Right. I mean, well, yes. I don't want to make anybody wrong here. So, yeah, staying out of judgment and being in an observation mode, you know, self-observation is much more important to remain in a neutral space and just observe what the body and your various thoughts and programs and, you know, everything is doing, and don't judge it. You know, don't judge when you took a drink and you knew you shouldn't have done that. You know, you have to just watch and see and look at what's going on without judgment, because they'll always... Yeah. When we make something wrong, then it's going to repeat itself because it hasn't been resolved.
I agree. I think that when we make something wrong or someone wrong, we're pushing that energy against them. We're invalidating whatever it was that happened. And I think that always comes from a place of fear.
Yeah.
Like fear of not being or something, but it always seems to be like an energy of fear behind making somebody wrong or judging them as...
Oh, right. You know. Yes, that's right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yes, and of course, we're raised from just the time we slide right out of the womb to be afraid of everything, you know. You know, we're immediately injected with vaccinations. We didn't expect that, you know. That wasn't part of the plan. What are all these things that are turning off my spiritual switches? I don't know. and a little baby can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And what are these strange chemicals in my mother's milk? You know, the fluoride in my... not just in the water anymore.
Yeah, it's in the body, definitely.
It's in baby formula.
Mm-hmm. They add it, actually, don't they?
It is, yes.
Oh, my
They're
goodness.
Putting more fluoride in baby food than they have ever put. And what is the purpose of that? I mean, you know, they've proven that fluoride is not beneficial for keeping the teeth. And so, you know, well, I think you and I know have a pretty good idea what that's about.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the calcification of the, what's it called? That gland. Oh, I can't remember the name right now.
What's that? The densification of the...
Calcification of the... is it the pituitary gland?
Oh, yeah, it's the pineal.
Pineal gland, that's the one, yeah.
And see, it's the master
I always get these new names confused.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the master gland. And
that's right, yeah.
And if you go for the master gland, then your control room is shut down, and fluoride crystallizes in the pineal gland as a crystalline substance. And so the pineal gland is supposed to have natural crystalline formations around it, which are made from organic substances. But fluoride is an inorganic substance, and the pineal gland attracts it like a magnet. So guess what happens when people's pineal glands are calcified and full of fluoride? They're not working, and you lose your telepathy, you lose your empathy, you lose your ability to sense things, and your higher senses aren't kicking in, so you're kicked down to, you know, what's left, the five senses, and that's where they want us.
Yeah, the very, very basic stuff. The very animalistic type energies, I think, very low vibrational as well.
Mm-hmm.
People go into depression from that disconnect.
And then they
pump them with more, right?
Right, with various medications that they keep coming up with to confuse and dumb down and, you know, and densify, you know, make things denser and less clear. So they've done a good job. I mean, I have to give them credit. You know, this world has been very cleverly manipulated into where it is now. And I just am looking forward to a time when a sufficient amount of people or energies tilt the system in the direction of neither of those options, you know, neither being all light or all dark, but definitely moving out of such a dense vibration. You know, there's no freedom there.
I think we are at that time.
Are we there? Okay.
Yeah, and I do think that it is up to each individual to acknowledge and to process their fear around it and really step into that space of unified beingness rather than affecting stuff all the time, yeah, or being affected by. Most fears, I think, is from the fear of being affected in a way we don't like.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that if many, many people talk about, discuss, and even visualize or look at this as a possibility, that inner conversation opens up the possibility for the human collective to go through that, to be able to experience it and have a different type of physical experience, which doesn't involve the light-dark game.
And of course, you've said many times, as of others, that the patriarchy is crumbling, that it's an old paradigm that is destined for the dust box, you know, for the trash can. So you can pretty much see that happening all over the world today.
Yeah, definitely. It's all over the news, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, what's your sense about the vibration, the general vibration that's coming in or that we're in or moving into, you know, and how do you see that? Are we both moving into a higher vibration and also higher frequencies are coming into our universe? Or what's going on with that?
When I came in as a human being, it was to raise the vibrational level of the planet. Now, that is a polarized position, right?
Right.
And there are others that came in that are like me, who are here to lower the vibration of the planet. So it's a polarization where both become separate from the other, so that you can have that pure light and you can have that pure darkness as choices. And what I think has happened with the experiment or the game of light-dark coming together and playing in the same field was that over and over again, and this is something that gets repeated over and over, the attempt to make a gray being that was both light and dark wasn't able to happen because the particles of light and dark that created that being would eventually polarize into two different camps and try to take the other one over. Yeah?
Right, right.
So even though that game is extremely interesting, fascinating, entertaining, and all the rest, it can continue somewhere else, and I think it does continue somewhere else. But we're being given an opportunity here, and the raising the vibrational level, I've always said it's an expansion of awareness. It's not somewhere we get to. It's an awareness something that allows us to become more able to see the entire universe in its entirety. Yes? Mm-hmm. Rather than just through filters, through glasses that only allows us to see a section of it, or a part of it, or just one playing field. Mm-hmm. We are amazing creatures. Humanity, we know it's like, you look at the news and you see all the stuff that's being broadcast, and you see a lot of suffering, you see a lot of people in pain, being killed, wars, polluting of the body and environment. You see a lot of negative, dark stuff happening, yeah? And the other day somebody was asking me, because we were talking about, I think, telepathy and hearing thoughts and stuff, and said, well, you know, how can you do that? I says, or how did that come along? And basically, my reality is that I hear the entire planet, the entire universe. I hear it. I hear everything that's happening at a vibrational level, and sometimes even as experiential vibrations, things that people are living through. And the most amazing thing is that, yes, I can hear everybody who's screaming in pain, suffering, dying, and evil intent. I can hear all that. But, you know, it's a tiny, tiny little drop in the ocean of love that people are feeling for each other right now. The father who holds his newborn baby, the mother who holds, you know, that father.
All right.
And it goes on and on. People who look at their pets and feel, you know, when you look at your pet, that's pure love, you know? Mm-hmm. When you see a beautiful rose, when you walk in and you feel that fresh air, all that experience of intense love that's on the planet is an ocean compared to the tiny little drop of suffering and pain. But that one is a much louder. It's being broadcast and it's being made like it's everything and everywhere. Why? Because we as a human beings create reality. We really do create the reality that we're living in, the game field. We create it moment to moment. And if we're made convinced, right, that it's all dark, that's the attempt to make a dark universe here to overtake.
That's right.
Yeah? That's right. But it's not working. It's simply not working. Why? Because we're going through there's been decisions that have been taken that don't allow for that to happen. Yeah? So it's like the decisions have already been taken. The collective has already made a choice. And that choice is to have a broader awareness field of experience, an empowered experience. Yes, a person can be awake and empowered in darkness. And that's a hard thing to capture, because it's like when we came here to play this game, we have to really make our awareness teachy-winchy so we could play it. Because otherwise it would be impossible. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's part of it. It's like it's a broader choice that we have. If we go through this, and I think it's like, I think it's only like 2 weeks left of this window where we can hold that space of not affecting and not being affected and just being, then something wonderful, something amazing can happen to each of us and to us as a society, as a collective, as a planet. And even everybody who's attached to us with the ETs and everything, all of those, they're terrified because they know that if we wake up to our own power and the amazing energy that we have and how we can use it, you know, it's like game over for them.
Right. 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 Well, that makes a lot of sense. I can't add anything to that. But we are multidimensional, and so as we expand our awareness into that, as you said, the joy, light, love aspect, we're tapping into a much larger field, because most of what is made, is that. And so, you know, we're tapping into frequencies and dimensions and parallel realities. We should be able to do that. And I think enough people are wanting to do that. And we've been able to do it in the past. So is that something that you see opening up as new possibilities as we continue to desire to know more about our families in other galaxies and expand our consciousness?
Yes, I think that the technology for us to be able to move through the universe and meet our cousins is here now. We have it mm-hmm. on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just being kept by those who think we're not ready. It's a very patronizing type energy belief system that thinks that the common man and woman in the street is not ready for it. And don't blame them. What is the common man and woman in the street doing? Yeah, they're drinking beer, they're partying, they're watching TV. And that's fair enough if that's the way they want to think. My view is that we are ready. Yeah. And if that mm-hmm. person drinking beer wants to have a beer with somebody in another galaxy, that's their prerogative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or they want to go and do battle somewhere, because that's basically what people are afraid of. Oh, you know, what if we could all teleport anywhere we wanted? Then people would be breaking into my house and stealing my stuff or raping me or whatever, or killing me.
Mm.
That comes from a place of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, well, is that what you're going to do? I mean, no, I wouldn't do that. Why? Because I wouldn't break into somebody's house and steal their stuff. Or maybe, yeah, maybe that's exactly what I would do. Yeah. But the thing is, there's rules of engagement within the sentient reality, and one of them is that nothing can be done to another person without grabbing from them some sort of agreement. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And once that agreement is removed, you cannot affect them in any way or form.
Mm.
It's very. That's one of the rules of engagement at a physical and experiential, or even existential level of this matrix type thing. And people think, well, what about innocent babies who came in, you know, and all these things happened to them? Yeah, those things happened to them. But I can tell you from my personal experience that I was, my mother tried to abort me 3 times. Seriously tried. Yeah.
Mm.
I'm still here. Why? Because there wasn't an agreement. And I also can tell you that there are people who came here with the agreement to only last 2 weeks in the womb, and that's their journey over.
Mm.
Yeah. So they're born to women who, or they're conceived to women who need to have that abortion, have chosen that. It's a mutual agreement of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And all that victim aggressor things. Are you saying that a newborn baby is not a divine eternal being? Well, then if they're not an eternal divine being, when do they become that? Because we're talking
right.
about adults only? No, we're not. And if that person or being is trapped in a cycle of victim-aggressor and you become aware of what happened to them, then the worst thing you can do is send them an energy of, you poor baby, you poor
mm-hmm.
victim. What you should do, or what not should, but the best thing you can do for them is look at them and see them as an eternal, divine, powerful being, and tell them, remind them at an energetic level that's what they are, and say to them, you don't have to play this game anymore. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to play that game anymore. You're powerful. You can do and be anything. And the effects that come to you, yeah,
mm-hmm.
can be anything. We're so close. We're so close as a species to be able to do that broadly, to know that. Like a blanket knowing that everybody knows, just like they know that when they breathe in, air comes into their lungs.
Mm-hmm.
We're so close.
It sure seems that way. But, you know, what I see the obstacles that are placed and that have been in place, for instance, having to earn a living, the monetary system, which is geared towards profits, and then that has turned into global rape, basically, by the few at the top. And so then you have all the advertising agencies using technologies and esoteric symbology to manipulate and influence people, and it's constant. Of course, you know, we have the choice of turning off the television set.
Right, there's always a choice.
Well, but even then, you know, I rent DVDs to see movies, and they're putting in commercials in those. So
yeah, that's a bummer, isn't it?
Isn't
you
that?
Have to get one of those.
I hate that, you know.
No.
And now they're getting quite a few of them, and you can't just hit a
forward
button
and
go to the movies. So, you know, they know their game, and I think that the control game of the monetary system is just about up. Because, you know, if people aren't sick of it, they should be. You know,
they tapped and hijacked energy exchange. That's very simple. There's nothing wrong with energy exchange. It's very healthy. It's a really healthy way to experience life. Energy exchanging energy with your environment, with others, receiving and giving.
Mm-hmm.
But it has been hijacked for the game, play the game.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there's like thousands and thousands of communities out there being set up all over the world where people are getting together to live outside of those tiny little parameters of a 9-to-5 job and, you know, exchanging energy through wages and debt. And that's happening all over the planet. You know? So if somebody really wants to step out of it, they can. They have choices.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but of course, you also have a ton of spiritual predators out there, too.
right. And for every...
totally take advantage of this fact, but you just have to be streetwise.
Well, yes, that's a good point. and that would be, you know, a connection to keeping your eyes open and being aware of what is out there and how you can be influenced and manipulated, and also not be subject to it.
Exactly.
And
it's
so
simple. It's usually three things, you know, either money, sex, or power.
Yes.
The predators always go for one of those. So if you feel that, you know, to go and live in a commune or whatever, you have to sell your home and give everything to that person, guru, or collective, or whatever, and then that's the money one. If you arrive there, you know, and you have to be initiated by having sex with this ugly, nasty person,
right?
Then that's sex.
Right.
Or, you know, like, honestly, women and men out there, no penis is going to heal you. So anybody telling you they're going to be healing you with their penis or their vagina, it's just a sexual predator. And the other one is power. It's just being these individuals who demand that you do as they say. Yeah?
Right.
Or else you're going to be...
Or else.
Yeah.
You're either bribed or you are threatened with...
Yeah.
Something that will cause
you to be... Exactly. We will tell you the secrets of the universe. You're going to be extremely powerful and everything once you learn the secrets that are behind this door, but you can only get to that door when you do X, Y, and Z, right?
You're right.
And then once you get to the door and you find there's a little bucket in the middle of the room and there's really nothing there, then you turn around and you try to leave. Oh, well, that's going to damn you for the rest of your existence, like eternity. Or we're going to come after you and we're going to kill you. Or we're going to go after your family or whatever. And this is happening today. It's like, it's 2013. Come on.
Well, there are mafias all over the world. And there are pedophile rings and sex rings and global sex trade. And people are literally kidnapped, you know, all over the world. And in fact, I just read an article, I never knew this, that all of the huge games that go on, the football games outside and the baseball games, there are people that, you know, that have the girls working for them. You'd call them pimps, but they're, you know, the girls' managers who are providing sex for money, and they're told, you're going to go out and you're going to do 25 guys or 50 guys, and don't come back unless you have. And they go out and work these big sports events. And so I would, I always wondered, why are they so popular? You know, what's with this little thing where, you know, you have to choose a side, and then they beat each other up or they get hit with something, and it's like, you know, what's that all about? Well, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of the married men go there. They're drinking their beer, and they get chatted up on the way to the bathroom, and they go off to a certain place, and, you know, okay, here's your $50. And 5 minutes later, they're back in their chair with their wives and kids. So I didn't even know that.
Yeah, but it's like, it's all that game, yeah? It's all the game about victim-aggressor and all that stuff. It's that game. And it's really important, I think, these days, to be aware that that game's happening and to know that you can say no. And nothing bad's going to happen to you, because if you choose that nothing bad's going to happen to you, then nothing bad will happen to you.
Absolutely. Well, you know, one of the things that I wanted to talk about was something that relates to what you were saying about energy exchange, because my personal feeling is that we are going to transform into an energy exchange system extremely rapidly when, you know, we do shift from the magical money system that we have with the pyramid in the eye. That all will have to go, but there may be transitional systems. In the meantime, there are people who are aware of energy exchange, which is, I think, the planet's is the normal way that the planet handles energy. It works with the energy exchange idea, and you're doing something different, unusual. By offering an energy exchange system with a two-day event you have coming up in November, aren't you?
Yeah, there's an event that I'm doing on the 16th to 17th of November where we're basically going to shift the paradigm of a projection of authority and also the thought of having to need somebody special to reach a level of specialness. We're going to be doing opening or becoming an ultra-dimensional field of oneness, yeah, all of us as equals. And then the questions and answers or requests will be done within that field, but will be answered silently, as in the person will get the download directly, yeah? And to fund this, we are doing that people can buy their ticket to get in, and it's highly affordable for this type of thing, for a two-day event. But also, they can sponsor somebody else. So even if the person can't make it because they're in Australia or whatever, they can sponsor another person to come to the event. So we've made a sponsorship option, and then people have sent in their names, and they have gone in the order that we received them, yeah? Uh-huh. And then all this energy, other people who want to be part of it can send in that sponsorship that allows that person to come in and do the work. And they're energetically linked, yeah?
Uh-huh.
So that it goes both ways, because It's that allowance, and yeah, it's working beautifully. You know, we didn't know if it was going to work, but we've already have, like, I think 2.5 people sponsored already, fully sponsored, and we're waiting to we send out to the person. You know, you've been sponsored. Did you want to take this? Are you able to come? And one person said that she wouldn't be able to come because she was in Australia, so she asked to be put to the bottom of the list for now until she gets a ticket.
Oh, no.
And then another person hasn't responded, so we're allowing like 24 hours or 48 hours for her to respond, and if she doesn't, then it will go to the next person down the list. Yeah?
Oh, that's wonderful.
So yeah, it's like, okay, put your energy exchange where you are, you know, when your mouth is basically allowing this to happen. And I've already paid for the whole thing. So even, I said, even if 5 people turn up, we're going to do this. We're going to do this.
Yeah.
And I think we have like 20 people now that are coming. So we're definitely having 20 people becoming that ultra-dimensional field of existence, of oneness. And that's another thing. What I've noticed when people, a lot of people become afraid of going in or into oneness, yeah? Mm-hmm. And I think it's because they misinterpret oneness from about, they think they will lose their identity, and also that it's a monologue. It's a type of monologue. But it's anything but a monologue. The monologue is our existence as individuals.
Right.
We're running a monologue there all the time. Once you open yourself up to all of existence, it's like, I don't know how to describe it. I don't think there's any words in the human language to describe it yet. But as we look at it together, we can see it, we can experience it, we can see it, what it could be like or what it is. And then the words will come that will express it, yeah? But it's very much what I, the only thing I can think of is like a dam that breaks, and all of a sudden there's this multiple ultra-dimensional viewpoints and no points that we can experience life as, and at the same time, yeah?
Yes. Yes, and of course, from that viewpoint, duality fades into the past.
It basically insignificance.
You know, it's an imaginary creation anyway. Just like time is a, you know, an imaginary creation. And so, when you come from a multidimensional experience or an ultra-dimensional, then their duality just doesn't exist there.
No, it doesn't. The I and other is gone.
Right. Right. Right, and the need for that, to me, it seems that there's an awful lot of programming about this, you know, finding your soulmate or your twin flame or this or that, and always feeling like you're incomplete without it. But I've often thought and experienced also that that's an internal process of uniting the halves within, the two that are within, the left brain and the right brain, for instance, the glandular system with with the heart, and I mean, there's a lot of alignment that we can do that removes duality, and it has nothing to do with finding somebody to have a relationship with, or spend your life with, or have sex with.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Mm. Well, that's wonderful, and you know, there's enough money on this planet. There are some individuals that literally have enough money to completely heal and transform the whole world. And can you imagine somebody, let's just say, for example, some kind of person who, a royal person or a person who has quadrillions of dollars and owns most of the world. Can you imagine the feeling that would produce if they just instantly used all of their resources to completely transform the whole planet individually, not even worrying about what other people were thinking,
yes.
And just did it? You know, they're already doing the things that are destroying the planet, you know, with... Can you imagine the enormous gratitude of the entire planet if just one of those people that couldn't possibly spend all that money in a million lifetimes just let go of the shackles and stopped buying politicians and people to put other people, to death because they know too much? I mean, there's that whole system of trying to control everything, and you could be controlling in the sense that you're giving. And transform the entire planet and make it a green planet with food for everybody and water, clean water, and, a plenty for everybody. And what you're doing is a template or an example to say, yeah, we can do this. This is not difficult. Most people, most people don't know this, but I live on Social Security. And by the end of the month, I'm down to about less than $100 in my checking account. And so, you know, people hear me on the radio and probably think that, oh, he's got plenty of money, you know, he's a radio person, he's making money off books and sales of things. I don't get anything, nothing. I mean, I don't make anything from the radio show. I don't make anything from the sales.
Yeah, imagine if you were. Imagine if you had all those funds, all the things that you could do. You see, money is chi, it's power. Power to do, ability to do. Yeah? And
yes.
If you had those funds, if you weren't blocked to receive all those, imagine everything that you could do.
Oh my gosh, I have so many thoughts on that and plans and things that I could do with, you know, just a few $100,000 or a million or
exactly.
two.
Exactly.
You know, and it would be completely transformative, and it would all be geared, it would be totally transparent, and it would be, it would be something done for all of us,
yeah.
all inclusive,
yeah.
not just service to others, because that is a form of, you know, that's the old paradigm, too. The
it is,
thing
yeah.
That, yeah, there's service to the universe, I'm sure, but we can be of service to all that is, and that includes us. We're
exactly.
When you say service to self, you know, well, okay, we can see a lot of selfish people in Wall Street, in the banking system, and this and that and the other thing, corporations, and that's created an awful mess. But then we go, light workers go in the other extreme and say, well, service to others. And then they become little mousy things that, you know, can't look at the dark and must only see the light. And
right.
why not just do service to all and let the chips fall where they may?
Mm-hmm.
And if some of the people who have millions and billions of dollars, and there are lots of them on the planet now, were just not so intent on having their way about how things are, and we're more giving towards all peoples in all the world, because we are all a family. We're all united in some way, by heart, for sure. We all have hearts. Even the androids have hearts. But, you know, I'm sure that there are just hundreds of thousands of people who could buy 10 or 20 sponsorships and not blink an eye. And you would be able to find people because it would just come to you. They would say, well, could I do your course? I'm a little, yes, of course. We have 20 extra paid sponsors. Come quickly. Come join the party. And, you know, I think this is how things are going to start breaking the ice and the control system of the banking system, and our feeling like this is the only option we have.
Absolutely. I always, you know, like at the end of the month, not always, but when I remember, I post on my website and on Facebook about empowering those who inspire me. I send 10% of what I earn to the person who has inspired me most the previous month. Yeah.
Oh.
The person or the cause or whatever that has inspired me. Not the one that needs it most, because that's jumping right into the victim aggressor thing. Yeah.
Oh, right.
But the one
right.
that inspires me most, the most inspiration I received. Why? Because inspiration is pure life force. Pure life
oh,
force.
Oh, yes, yes, yes,
and
it is.
And when I give back to them, and I think 2 months ago, I sent it to a millionaire. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I sent a millionaire 10% of my income. Yeah?
Right.
And it was because he inspired me, wow, so much. That was the person that inspired me most. So why, you know, it's like there's no judgment there. He inspired
right.
me, and
I
I'm giving
it.
Him back that energy exchange. And the judgment that we have is like, oh, yeah, but he doesn't need it, blah, blah. We don't know that. We don't
right.
know how he's using his millions. Yeah.
Right. And
maybe he's using those millions to inspire another million to do
right.
stuff
and,
on the planet.
And maybe your gift inspired him to release millions more because it moved him so deeply that somebody who doesn't have a lot gave him, who has, this gift, and it may have changed his whole perspective.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I can give you a little example of that.
And you know, before you say that, can I just say, it doesn't
oh, yes.
matter if it's 50 cents. It doesn't matter if 50 cents, that's your 10%, or like $5,000. It doesn't really matter.
Right, right.
It's that 10%. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, you know, just one of the things that happened to me recently that just changed, it just moved me so deeply. I order, occasionally I'll order a DVD of a movie I want to watch, but I wait until, it's been out long enough, and usually I buy them used off of Amazon. And so I can get, you know, afford to, you know, buy a couple of movies. Well, one of the movies was sent to me, and I didn't know what it was, and I opened it up. And on the, there was a little yellow sticky note with a smiley face, and it said, "Thank you, Lance," and signed by the person who sent it. And it literally, I mean, I thought, you know, that is an example of a little thing that somebody can do that doesn't cost anything, really.
Exactly, and just, yeah.
And I wanted to send him, you know, a copy of my book or, you know, a gift or a thank you card. So, but that's how it made me feel. And if we can capture, if we can imagine capturing that feeling and giving that, transferring it freely without expectations or, you know, demands, that's a whole different experience.
Yeah, I think that key word, without expectation, just for the joy of it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
We inspire somebody else, or we empower them just for the sake of it.
Yes,
that
exactly.
Energy exchange.
And
yeah.
We don't carry around any account book in our minds. Like,
no,
well,
we do, actually. We have that innately in our physicality. We have that checkbook balancing act.
Yes, we do.
We have it.
Yes.
And we know when, always know when we're out of balance. We always know it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Well, you know, the thing that we do need to be more aware of is the unconscious aspects, because those are the aspects that keep us mired in the duality.
In balance.
In the balance. So... Well, that's it's a wonderful thing that you're doing, and of course, I'm planning on being there. So, if anybody wants to meet the Zany Mystic, I'll be at this 2-day retreat.
Yes, you will. You were sponsored, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Because you put your name in there first.
Well, I know a good thing when I see it.
You do.
And,
you
know, and when I know, and I'm not ashamed of admitting that I can't afford to pay for. Courses and things like that. I mean, a lot of wonderful people offer courses and things like that. I just literally can't afford them. Mm-hmm. And some of them are very
well. Now
attractive.
You can. That was secured
yes.
for you. This so, one, you can. You've been sponsored. Yeah. So, there. So come and meet Zany Mystic. 16 and 17th of November here in Sacramento. Go to ascension101.com events to find out about it.
Yes, and bring lots of money. Because Lady Mystic has some great ideas, and it takes us some money to do it. So, you know, bring tons of money. Any extra cash you have, just pull it out of the bank. You won't need it. Well, you know, it's really funny. People have, I mean, I know everybody in my neighborhood has, they have IRAs, and they have, accounts set up to make money off of the stock market, and they have this account and that account with hundreds of thousands of dollars in it just sitting there.
Yeah, doing nothing except feeding.
Doing nothing. And the same thing, I was living in San Francisco, and when you look down from one of the apartment buildings or old homes that's on a city block, they built all the homes in a kind of a circle, and then you look down from the window, and there are all these divisions of fences, and everybody's got their own yard, and they all look different. Some are very pretty. Some are just awful. They look trashy. And I thought to myself, wouldn't it be nice if all of the people who owned those houses in that block got together, because they own that space, took the fences down, and all contributed a little bit to having a beautiful park-like setting with fountains and flowers and a swimming pool. They'd have that whole inner block with no way to get into it except from the people who own or live in the houses that are being rented out. And that would then everybody would get to go into their backyards and have just a beautiful experience. And that's just one example.
Yeah.
I come up with these all day. I should be on some kind of, you know, anti-marketing group, you know, how to free the earth and make it a beautiful place.
Yeah.
But well, so what else can you tell us about the, you know, we're in some very interesting astrological alignments.
60 seconds. 60 seconds.
60 seconds? Oh, thank you. I just realized that we have just...
You only started 5 minutes ago.
I know. Well, you know, on my... it seems that way. Well, there is no such thing as time. It's a social agreement. So my screen on my computer went into bubbles for screensaver, and I was looking. It's only 7:33. It isn't. It's time for us to go.
Oh, yep. Well, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for the invite.
Well, I you can always come back and do a show with me anytime, and I hope that people do the 2-day experience in the 16th of November, and just let people know again where they can find you, your website and everything.
Ascension101.com, and the events is under the events tab. So, yeah.
Okay, and then if they want to look into the academy, what's the website?
Oh, yes, awakenacademy.org. Fabulous stuff going on
one
there.
One of the wonderful people that I just adore, Lucia Renee, is on that.
Yes, she is.
She's quite a powerful woman.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
Victoria Moore. So, I mean, it's a great group of people there. You couldn't ask for more. You could ask for more. So, anyway, thank you for coming back. And it was wonderful to talk to you. And I will be talking again soon, I'm sure.